Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Just a reminder to download the Civic Media app. Go to your app store and download for free the Civic Media app, and you can call and text directly from the app. Listen to all the stations all across the network. It's really fantastic. So we encourage you to do that as well. And a reminder that the Todd Alba Show following us from noon to 2, and then Maggie Dawn takes over from 2 to 4 p.m. One thing, too, before I forget real quickly, Greg Bach. If you have a topic or a suggestion or something you would like us to cover, just email us directly. Send it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us, and we will do our best to reach out to that guest or cover that topic, and because we really want you to be a part of the show.
Yeah.
And as a reminder, we did have a number of questions about these two referenda that are going to be on the ballot on April 2nd regarding voting in Wisconsin. There are these two referenda, which I believe are purposely written to be as confusing as humanly possible and to get people to vote against their own best interests. So we're going to be having the League of Women Voters is going to join us next Tuesday at 11:33. So if you want to get a little more familiar with what these referenda mean and what they would do going forward, I hope you will join us next Tuesday at 11:33. The League of Women Voters, Deborah Cronmiller, is going to be joining us. And that came about from a suggestion from someone who sent it to Jane Says. So please do so.
Yes, please.
And all the complaints, just send those to Calvin.
All to Calvin.
Yeah, just Calvin.
He has his own, it's called Calvin Says at Civic Media.
You can try that. That would be interesting. All right, we're going to talk about how much it costs to retire. Alex Groth in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a great story about whether or not you can retire in Wisconsin for less than $1 million.
Yeah.
Where is the cheapest place to retire? Where is the most expensive place to retire? And I am just curious, and I know we have some retirees who listen regularly. Did you have $1 million when you decided that you had worked long enough? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon has ruined. According to this article, again, from Alex Groth in today's Journal Sentinel, American workers believe they will need an average of $1.8 million to retire compared to $1.7 million last year. 37% of workers think it's very likely they will hit that target. That's almost 40% of people think they will hit almost $2 million. By the time they retire.
I don't.
That seems very optimistic.
It's very optimistic. And I'm just wondering, you know, like there's, I think there's a lot of people out there who just, I don't know if I want to say resign themselves to not being able to retire, or will say something like, I have Social Security. I don't know. I am 46. I am terrified of retiring without enough money. And I mean, by the way, when I say enough money, I don't mean living the high life, yacht rock rich.
Right.
I mean, paying our bills and being able to live comfortably and not have to worry about getting another full-time job after you retire.
Or living in a box under a bridge.
Yeah.
Depending on which state you live in, you might need more than $1 million. Residents in more than a dozen states should save at least that much for retirement. That's according to a report from GoBankingRates.com. Wisconsin, however, still one of the places you do not have to have $1 million in the bank in order to retire. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So how much do we need? This is according to GoBankingRates.com. If you live in Wisconsin and you want to retire comfortably, what do you need annually? So the annual cost of living is about $56,000. The cost of living after you include your Social Security, then is at about $33,000. So according to this, you would need $825,531.30 in order to retire comfortably in Wisconsin. That's still a lot of money.
That's basically, why don't you just say it's $1 million?
Round it up.
Because we're talking about $825,531.30 if you retire right now. I don't plan on retiring. I won't be able to retire. I won't be able to draw on my Social Security for about another 18, 19 years.
Right.
So in 18, 19 years, that's probably going to go up to, it'll be easily $3 to $4 million.
By that time.
By that point.
In another 20 years.
Exactly. And I don't see pay scales rising to meet those costs either. So
definitely not.
We are going to be in a lot of trouble. And when I hear politicians talking about, you know, the redundancy or the awfulness of Social Security, it's like, you can't take that away. I've been paying into that since I was 12. And if you dare tell me that I'm not going to get that money, you better open up your checkbook, rich senator.
How long does $1 million in retirement savings last you? With the following expenditures, $1 million in Wisconsin will last a little over 18 years. So say your annual groceries cost about $5,000, annual cost for housing $10,000, annual utilities cost $4,200, transportation $5,000, annual health care $8,226. So that annually works out to about $55,000. But it's that health care cost.
Yes.
That is really the unknown. Also, and can really throw everything off.
Also, you can, you know, if you're doing it, you know, if you're not being, I don't want to say fiscally irresponsible, because I don't think that's fair. If you own a home and you're making the payments, or you're adding on to the payments, that cost, the housing cost could go far down or away if you are able to pay off your house, if that is a possibility.
If that's possible.
You know, that's something I'm hoping that we'll be able to do if we stay in the same house, that we will be paying off that house one day, because that's going to be a nice cost off of our checkbook. But there's all sorts of variables. But I mean, honestly, yeah, $1 million, no matter where you live. Unless you want to live in the top three most expensive states. Yeah. But if you live in Wisconsin, I think $1 million is sensible. But it's tough.
Well, it's something Calvin, you better start saving now, boy. I'm telling you, Scott McKellen on the live stream, when did they start saving? How much are they saving? And are they investing? $1 million sounds like a lot if you start at 50.
Yes.
But if you start when you're 20 or 30, it's not as challenging.
Well, and that's the thing, is whether it's from your parents or from whomever, really understanding the opportunities for saving out there, whether it's 401k, whether it's, you know, I worked in government, so we had 427s. There are opportunities to save your money, and doing it young, especially, you know, if you are 20 years old, single, living in an apartment.
Or living at home.
Living at home, and your company offers a 401k with a match, you put as much away as possible, get that match from the company, and then you talk to the people in charge of it, and you tell them to be aggressive with your investing, because you don't have a family. You don't have many investments. You don't have finance, like, with the exception of maybe school loans.
Right.
If you start aggressive and young, then you will be far ahead in 10, 15 years.
You can't let that pass you by.
No.
You really can't.
No.
And again, I know people are struggling with apartments and things, and I think a lot of people are living at home longer.
Yeah.
So if you're working and you're living at home still, take advantage of this. Seriously, don't wait.
I mean, and young people, if you are listening to this and you are living at home, talk to your parents about putting together a financial plan for yourself. Get their advice if they know what they're doing, and even say to them, hey, I'm paying, like, instead of paying rent, would you mind if I took half that rent money and put it away into a long-term savings? That way I'm covered when I'm older and I, or we work together and even half goes to a savings and half goes to a down payment to a house. If you ever want one, there's so many ways to sit down and work out those finances that will have you head and shoulders above everybody else in 20, 30 years. And it's 20, 30 years sounds like a lot to a 20-year-old, but I was 26 3 minutes ago. Okay.
It goes really fast.
Yeah.
It goes really fast. So where are the best Wisconsin cities to retire to? According to GoBankingRates.com, the top Wisconsin cities, Wausau, Stevens Point, Kaukauna, Manitowoc, Oshkosh, and Racine.
There you go. My mother-in-law lives in Racine.
That's right.
Yeah.
Most expensive states to retire, not a surprise, Hawaii, Massachusetts.
Interesting.
And California.
I'm just surprised that New York isn't number two or number three. I figure if you would have asked me, I would say California, New York, and Washington.
Washington State?
Yes. It's getting really expensive to live there. Seattle? Ooh, mother glory.
See, and I would have said Connecticut.
Okay.
I would have thought that Connecticut would have been very, very expensive, an expensive place to live. The cheapest places, by the way, if you're looking, West Virginia, Mississippi.
No, thanks.
And Oklahoma.
No.
Okay, that would be a no.
West Virginia also surprising. I don't expect it to be like super expensive, but all right, that's interesting. Just really quick, I just find this interesting with the top three most expensive states. Hawaii is number one, and they suggest you have $2 million.
Okay.
Massachusetts is number two, and it drops by over $500,000.
Living on an island is very expensive.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Very expensive. All right. Stay with us. Call, text 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, and we're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call, text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Talking right now about an article that Alex Groth in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel posted today about how much it costs to retire, where it's the most expensive, where it is the least expensive, and essentially how much you need, you're going to need, depending upon where you live. We have a texter from Suamico, Brian from Suamico, listening in Green Bay on WGBW. Maybe the talk, Jane, shouldn't be about a magical retirement number, but instead about the fact that pensions should be brought back. Reagan and his ilk destroyed unions and pensions. Time to bring back pensions. 401ks were put in place for the rich as an extra investment, not as a total retirement tool. Thank you so much, Brian. Appreciate that. I remember when pensions went away.
Yeah. I mean, we had another text that said, this is the second program that talks about having huge retirement savings and $50,000 a year in retirement. I've never made $50,000 a year in my working year. A year in my working years needed to support my children and was not able to save. Most people in the middle class and down don't have a lot of extra money. That's also very true.
Yes.
While I think the pension versus 401k is a topic to talk about, unfortunately, we got to work with what we got.
Well, and I don't, they're never going to bring pensions back. Companies will never do that.
With the exception of that battery company we talked to up north, said they wanted to bring back pensions.
Well, we'll see if they get there, and hopefully they will.
Exactly. And I will say that, as someone who has both, I have a pension and I have 401ks, I would rather have a pension because it's more guaranteed, I believe. And I also think it's a better, it says more about the company when they, but it's also, I don't know what goes into having a pension and how to offer one, but Brian, you're absolutely right. That is an important conversation to have, I think, in the history of management versus the employee. But unfortunately, we work in a world where most companies offer 401ks. And nowadays, it's becoming where you're almost lucky if they do. Some just do not.
That they don't offer a 401k?
Because they're too small or they just, you know.
It's, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. But if you work for a big corporation, of course, you know, my wife's got a 401k. I've got a few
from
all the jobs I've had. So,
but as you said, not all jobs, especially not smaller jobs and smaller companies, are able to offer that. Mm-hmm. But Brian, tragically, pensions aren't going to come back. That would mean that the big guys have to take a pay cut, and they're not going to do that. Like we talked about yesterday with greedflation.
I would say the one thing that would make me nervous about, and something I'm still nervous to this day about my pension, is the fact that my pension is managed by a group, and I just allow them to do whatever they want with that money. And if they say one day, we're going to invest it all in a horse farm in Montana.
Yeah.
I can pull my money out, but the matched money from the company, from the city, goes away. So I do worry about that one day, someone saying, yeah, your pension fund has been gambled away or drained or is gone, or my 401k, I'm in control of that.
Right. And over time, because the market does, you know, there are ups and downs in the markets, but over time, that evens out. That tends to even out.
Mm-hmm.
Texter listening in Madison on WMDX, I recently heard you should have 7 times your salary in net worth when you retire. That's Carrie from Wauwatosa. Thank you, Carrie. Yeah,
seven times your salary.
It's a lot of money.
I'm going to die poor. I'm going to die in a box.
Under a bridge. Pick a nice bridge. This goes back to this article from Alex Groth in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about how much it costs to retire, especially depending upon where you live. And in Wisconsin, better than other places, according to this, it's about $850,000 and some change.
Yeah,
I love that they included the 30 cents. That just makes me laugh. Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski is going to be joining us after the news at 11:33. Very, very happy to have her joining the show. Before we get to that, though, very quickly, this is very disappointing. A massively bipartisan bill today or yesterday in the House of Representatives, they managed to pass a bipartisan resolution condemning Russia's illegal abduction of thousands of children from Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been snatching these kids since they invaded Ukraine and essentially giving them to Russian people to adopt and change. And it was a massive vote. I'm just looking for the vote total here. Massive vote in favor. It was like 390-6. Among the Republicans who voted no on condemning Vladimir Putin for stealing Ukrainian children, our very own Tom Tiffany from Wisconsin. He joins Andy Biggs of Arizona, Eric Burleson of Missouri, Warren Davidson, Ohio, MTG, big surprise, from Georgia, Clay Higgins, Louisiana, Thomas Massey from Kentucky, Matt Rosendale, Montana, Chip Roy from Texas, and yes, our very own Tom Tiffany voting against a resolution to condemn Vladimir Putin for stealing Ukrainian children. The final tally was 390-9.
Congressman Chip Roy from Texas finally has something he can go home and campaign on.
Something that he did.
I voted for letting Russians continue to steal children. It's all about the children. Children first.
For those who don't remember, Chip Roy has been on the House floor essentially blasting his fellow Republicans for not getting anything done.
Yeah.
And then he said, what am I supposed to go back and tell my constituents we've accomplished? We haven't accomplished anything. He wrote a great ad for the Democratic Party.
Just a variable who cares of people voting.
But if you live in Tom Tiffany's district, I would highly encourage you to call his office and ask him why he voted against this.
If you live in Wisconsin, call. If you live in Arizona, call. I want someone to find out why, what
What is the justification?
3D chess move he was doing, or did he just read the bill wrong?
That's assuming he read the bill.
Did he skim the bill wrong? Yeah.
You can always find out the phone numbers, all the contact information for your elected representatives.
Where's that website, Jay?
You will find that at myvote.wi.gov. Just type in your address. Everything comes up. I think it's, you even can take a look now at the April 2nd ballot, I think. So you know what's going to be on your particular ballot. It's a very, very useful website. Highly encourage you to refer to it. If nothing else, just to make sure that you haven't somehow gotten tossed off the voter rolls.
Correct.
Because that has happened in other states. And then when people go to vote, they have a very unpleasant surprise.
Then sometimes that surprise turns into an hour, 2 hour line of people. There's nothing better than walking into a voting booth.
Giving your ID, going right in.
Doing, getting out. Now, I would love to get rid of that ID part, but, you know, we can't. So, but yeah, when you don't have to register, you don't have to stand that line. Find out what ward you live in, what district you live in, so you can, you know exactly where you need to be.
Stay close. News is coming up next. And then when we return, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski will be our guest. This is Matt Nair on air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Working together day to day, together, together. And when the evening comes, we smile, so much of life ahead. We'll find a place where there's room.
She's just a girl and she's on fire, hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Kelvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. We stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon has ruined. We're very excited to have our next guest join us live, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, Jane. It's so good to be here today.
It is great to see you. It's been a while. I think it's probably been about a year since we talked to you last.
I think that is exactly right. It's been a year because we've been just so busy putting our head down and doing all the work. So
remind folks, Sarah, if you would, how this all started, how you got the Secretary of State position, and what it is that office does.
Well, I never thought that I would be sitting here or with you today as Secretary of State. It wasn't on my bingo card, that's for sure. But as you know, when the governor calls you and says he wants to see you, and then when he brings you into his office and he says, Sarah, I'd like you to serve as Secretary of State, Doug has unexpectedly resigned, I immediately, of course, said yes. But I failed to do two things in that moment. The first was, Governor, can I just maybe call my husband and see if it's okay before I say yes? And the second thing was, when do you need me to start? And so literally I came home after that meeting and my husband was like, so Sarah, are you serving on a task force? Like, what are you doing for the governor? And I'm like, you're looking at your new Secretary of State. And he was like, no, like, beep, you know, like swear word. He just couldn't believe it. And then fast forward, he needed me to serve 48 hours after talking to him. So on a Friday morning, there I was with a knock on my door, and it was the governor's chief legal counsel swearing me into office in my pajamas.
In your pajamas?
Yes.
That's exactly how it should be.
Well, that's
which I don't think I've done more Wisconsin than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you in Green Bay Packers pajamas?
Of course I was in Green Bay Packer pajamas. You know, there's no other way to do it.
Absolutely. That is so perfect. That really is. That's really funny. I can imagine, as you said, when the governor calls you into his office and says, I need you to do this. It's just kind of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So tell us about the Secretary of State office, Sarah, and what duties that covers.
Yeah, I mean, I think just kind of taking it from to a bit of a higher level, Jane, like why this constitutional office was written into the Constitution is that this office is responsible for basically ensuring trust and credibility with the government. So we, for example, are the keeper of all, you know, like critical records, right? We also seal a lot of government documents, whether it's like acts of the governor, but also records that people need for daily lives. Like if a family would want to adopt a child overseas, our office has to like authenticate that documentation. Thailand wouldn't recognize it unless we authenticated it.
Okay.
Or if you want to expand your business overseas, we would have to authenticate it. So last year alone, we did over 15,000 cases as an example.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. So Jane, like when I walked into this office, I can't make this up. There were cases that were backlogged. We were like over a month behind. There were boxes of records that had been piled up, and we were still using a seal from 1881 in our day-to-day operations to, you know, do the work. And it's really a testament to legislative abuse because we have tax dollars, like our own money to pay for things, but the legislature won't let us. I mean, it's a complete power grab and an attack on our democracy. It's pretty bad.
How does that benefit them by accomplishing nothing?
Well, let's face it. We know that a few things, right? We've seen how certain politicians don't want, you know, want to rewrite history. So why would they not want like archives and records and information available because they can rewrite history? And I think one of our other really good, like a good example of the role that we have played is let's talk about the fake electors. You know, we didn't seal the certificate of votes from the fake electors because it wasn't an official government document. Like we are the entity that does that. And so it's really just trying to attack government trust and accountability, which is part of our role as written in the Constitution.
That's so interesting, Sarah, that you mentioned the archives and how important it is to be the keeper of the archives. That's chilling. It is that the efforts right. to rewrite what has happened in the past, that's frightening.
Yeah, and I think what else is really frightening is that if we would not authenticate these 15,000 cases, Jane, you can't go to Illinois to have the Illinois Secretary of State validate your documents. You right. can't go to Minnesota to have the Minnesota Secretary of State validate your documents. So those businesses that we work with, the families that we work with, the individuals, they couldn't go anywhere else to get those services. It's written into the Constitution and what we do.
Yeah. So they're just stuck in, right? If this paperwork isn't getting processed, you're just stuck and you wait and you wait and you wait. If you're just joining us, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski is our guest joining us on the phone right now. If you have a question, you can text it in at 855-75-CIVIC. So Sarah, what have you been involved in over the past year?
Yeah, so I would say we've kind of got a few areas, Jane, that we've been cooking. The first is let's just talk about making sure government works for the people of Wisconsin. And so a lot of our time has been, you know, we remove the backlog. We now have cut our wait times in half. And the services that our office provides, they're going to be soon like an Amazon experience where you can, you know, we are going to meet people where they are. So currently, if you wanted to get something done from my office, you would have to either travel in person or use snail mail. And so we're going to make a lot of these services online, which I think is a big win. The other big thing that we've been working on, Jane, that, you know, might be a topic on occasion on your show is protecting democracy. And so we've been working with county clerks and local clerks on everything from how we're, you know, providing more support for them to working with young people in civic engagement and in civic education. So those have been, I think, important kind of pieces of our work. In addition to, like, look, when fake electors turned in falsified documents to my office, we called it out and demanded for Robert Spindell to be removed from the Election Commission. So we're continuing to work on these issues of democracy. And then the other piece is I chair a $1.4 billion trust fund. And so we've been working on public schools and economic security,
which is so important.
Yeah,
our schools are really fighting a lot of fights. And I want to go back, Sarah, to the election clerks, and with the environment that we're in, and all of the threats, and all of the horrible things that happened in the last cycle, I would imagine that they're grateful that they're getting some attention and support, because a lot of these people are not, these are not political people. They're hardworking people who are helping us perform democracy, right? These election clerks.
Yeah, no, Jane, I think that's the big piece, is that they're not political, and but yet they're the cornerstones of their communities, and they're underappreciated and undervalued. I mean, they are being attacked, and these are just good public servants who are doing the work. And I think what I worry about is people don't want to go into this profession.
Right.
We're seeing them leave the profession. We're seeing vacancies with town clerks or village clerks. And we've got to make sure that people want to serve in this role, and particularly like looking at the next generation, because baby boomers are retiring if they are in this profession. And so we're seeing it twofold, whether they want to leave because of the attacks and just mistreatment and underappreciation, to just like they're retiring.
Yeah, but you have to wonder, at least I wonder, these efforts to chase these people out, if that's not also partly by design, just to make it more difficult for people to vote and for people to engage in the democratic process. And that's why it's so important too, like you said, that you were engaging with younger people, because even when you go to the polls, the vast majority of these people, I see the same people every year, year after year after year. I've been voting, you know, in the same precinct for 23 years now. And like you said, those people too are going to have to get spelled at some point. And it's not like it's the sexiest job in the world, being a poll worker or an election clerk, but it's absolutely vital.
Yeah, this is exactly right. It is. They are under the radar. It's not the most sexiest work you've seen, but it's so important. And that's why one of the things we've been doing is these town halls with local universities and county clerks or city clerks to talk about the role they play, and opportunities to do work study or internships or volunteer, in hopes of they look at it and say, oh, this would be a really great career for me, and I care about our state, our community, and what a great way to directly support democracy.
Absolutely. Sarah Godlewski is our guest. She is the Wisconsin Secretary of State. Sarah, we just have a couple of minutes left. What have been some of the biggest challenges that you've had to deal with in the last year?
I think there's two. I would say the first has been, as we kind of kicked it off, these legislative attacks. I mean, the fact that my office doesn't use tax dollars, that we make our own revenue, but yet I'm not even able to use my own revenue to improve the office, just seems absolutely mind-boggling. Especially since we literally have like one FTE. And so it's pretty horrific, the partisan attacks in that way. But I would say the other thing is that there's just so much mis and disinformation about this office. And we've been working really diligently to be educating people on the role the Secretary of State plays and why this matters, because it's important to getting people involved. But a lot of times there's just mis and disinformation about this office that has made it difficult.
I really appreciate your time. Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski has been our guest. We'll be happy to have you back anytime, and take care of that throat.
Thank you, Jane. I appreciate it.
Secretary of State of Wisconsin, Sarah Godlewski, has been our guest. Thank you so very much. And I feel for her because I've had that same frog.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a little tough to shake.
If you're listening right now, Secretary, get yourself some throat coat. That's going to do wonders for you.
That's your advice?
Throat coat tea. It's amazing.
I'd be drinking with Chardonnay, but that's just me. All right. Stay with us. Laughing Tap updates when we return. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, all verklempt after our big guest, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, was here. Really nice to talk to her.
She's fantastic.
She is. And as she pointed out as well, the Secretary of State office actually does do important things and helps process things. And if you want to adopt a child and other things, and the fact that people still either have to go there in person or use snail mail, that they don't have a website for some of these applications just is a head scratcher. And then they're not given the funds to do that. You would think this would be a good thing for everybody.
And before you go thinking, I know the secretary had a very scratchy throat, so some things you might not have picked up, but before you go thinking it's a big building full of people rushing around and bureaucracy afoot, she said they have one FTE, which means they have one full-time employee.
One.
So they're getting a lot of work done with very little resources. So keep the office out of your mouth if you're trying to hate on it. That's what I'm trying to say right now.
All right, then.
That's what I'm saying, people.
Just a reminder, also download the wonderful and free, always free Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. We have this statewide Ride into Spring contest that's going on 4 times a day, 7 a.m. hour, 10 a.m. hour, 1 p.m. hour, and 3 p.m. hour. You want to listen for the host to give you the keyword, and then you're going to text it in from the app, depending upon where you listen across the Civic Media Radio Network, whether you're in Oshkosh or Green Bay or in Hayward or in Amory.
Amory.
You can text it in and then get entered for this great contest. Overnight stays at the Chula Vista Resort and then grand prize, including some new bicycles and a fancy Blenda and a patio love seat, I believe. So it's pretty cool. Your next chance, the Todd Alba Show.
Yes.
Between 1 and 3. And I mentioned that because Robin on the live stream commented that she missed it when we made the announcement at 10 o'clock because she was driving. This is what she said. This is so nice. But listening to you guys, I feel like a winner every day.
Yep.
Thank you, Robin. That is very, so very nice sweet of you.
So, 1 p.m. and then 3 p.m. And then we'll be doing it again tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Different keyword every hour, and you can enter each show, but just once. You only have to enter once.
And a little side note for all of our friends on the live stream, who we have a lot of people on the live stream
today. We do.
It's fantastic, and we thank each and every one of you. Do not forget to be respectful with your words.
Yes, we watch those things.
We watch them, and we wield a heavy hammer down on those who are not, well, you can be not nice, but just don't use a bad language, and don't be overly disrespectful.
I'm sorry, folks, but if all you have are insults and profanity, you have no argument.
Exactly.
So, end of story. All boom. Right. Laughing Tep. Going to be laughing this weekend. Greg Bach, who is the headliner?
Casey Shornema is back. Casey came to us last summer. Casey is a writer for Saturday Night Live.
Oh, wow.
Yes. She was also a writer for a show called Tuning Out the News, which was a Stephen Colbert executive produced cartoon where they did the news. It was a cartoon newscast, but with live action people like doing interviews. And she's a writer for both of those.
Oh, cool.
And by the way, Casey is one of two SNL current people we're going to be having at the club. We're going to be actually having a performer coming, Mr. Michael Longfellow, in a couple weeks.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So, but this
week
is. That's
a big get.
That's a big get. This weekend is Casey Shornema. She'll be doing three shows, one Friday, two Saturday. Get your tickets at laughingtap.com. Remember, no drink minimum. Tickets are $22 online, $25 at the door.
It's a deal.
It's a deal. It's a small, intimate room. We have a really good time. Calvin, we got ourselves a clip of Casey doing some stand up at a show called Don't Tell Comedy. Would you please roll the clip?
I'm doing fine. I'm in therapy. Anyone in therapy? No. It's been great. Going to therapy is great. I am Asian, and my parents asked me why I go to therapy. And I was like, oh, do you remember when I was a kid? And you guys raised me? That's it? No. You were there, I mean, not emotionally. But you're around. No, my parents are great. I hang out with my dad a lot, not because we're close. We just have a mutual friend in common, my mom. So we hang. My dad's great. He always talks to me like we're two strangers who met at a party and there's a lull in the conversation. He's always like, so, how old are you? I'm like, don't worry about it. It's my birthday party, but...
So Casey will be here this weekend. One show Friday, two shows Saturday. Oh my gosh.
Words are hard.
I know, it's so...
Words.
LaughingTap.com for all your comedy needs. It's going to be a great time. She's wonderful, and the... feature is fantastic. Dana Ehrman. The host is Rich D'Amore. It's going to be three great shows. Get your tickets now before they're gone. And they go
fast.
They go fast. Really quick, Jeff on the live stream asked about texting during Todd's show. You can text once per show, and you need to have the Civic Media app to do this. You can't just text the word to us. It has to be through the Civic Media app. So I don't know if that answers your question. If not, I apologize, but you can enter once per show.
And the word changes for every show.
Exactly.
The word is going to be the key word to text in is going to be different for every show
and
every day. And download the Civic Media app. It's fantastic. You can listen to all the stations all across the state, depending upon where you want to listen. If you live out of state and you want to listen to what's going on in your old hometown of Racine, you can do that too. And again, then you can call and text directly from the app to whatever station or show that you're listening to.
And the app's only $5,000 this week.
The app, Greg Bach.
What?
Is free.
We're giving this away?
I know, we're giving it away.
Crazy. Not,
we're just crazy people like that. All right, news is on the way next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2, and then Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin. Without you, nothing works. Thank you to everyone for calling and for texting and for listening. Most of all, it means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay with us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.